Technorama episode 344 for June 13, 2012. We're not rocket surgeons.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Pardon me, but do you have any gray poupon?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for June 13, 2012. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am well rested.
Well rested. What did you do? Well, we missed a night of recording, and we're actually recording this on Monday night.
Well, yeah, you know, it was one of those rare weekends, like, you know, the planets came into line and Venus was talking to Mars or something, and me and my wife were without the kid for the whole weekend,
whoa,
so we were
we're keeping our clean rating here, so leave it at that.
No, that's, you know what I mean.
Yeah, so I know exactly what you mean, that's the problem.
We had a good time. It was nice. Fine,
excellent.
I'll leave it at that.
We got a new cat. That's what we got.
Hey, you know, you were telling me this story earlier, and it seems like I've heard that story about five times for every cat I've got in my house.
Cat number two is in the house, and so far they're not getting along, but they're in separate rooms, but they know each other exists. And that's about as far as we're going to go with that story, because it's not a cat podcast.
Catcast for...
We'll come back with even more after this. Yeah. Coming up in this episode, we have a crack in the center of the Earth, the most expensive way to fly into the sun, and a way to turn your dead relatives into a cheap source of fuel.
Thanks.
All that and more coming up right after this.
Thanks, Grandpa.
Hi, do you like geeky podcasts? Of course you do. Do you like free stuff? Hey, who doesn't? If you like podcasts and winning free stuff, then you'll love the Great Geeky Podcast iTunes Review Contest. All you have to do is leave some iTunes reviews for some great podcasts and email your name and the name of your iTunes review in, and you'll be entered into a contest for some great prizes, including DVDs, action figures, posters, and more. There's even a complete Buffy DVD setup for grabs. Head on over to BetweenTheLinesStudios.com/contest to read the list of participating podcasts and complete entry rules. Even if you don't use iTunes, there's some great ways to get some entries by sharing the contest on Twitter and Facebook. The contest ends May 15th, so make sure you get your reviews in quickly.
Hey, before we get into the show, we got some feedback from the last one, amazingly enough. We have voicemail from Mark in Memphis.
Mark in Memphis. Hang on, I'm getting there.
That one I can play in the show.
Hey, guys, it's Mark in Memphis. Chuck, I like that. His grandma is Manigenarian.
We were saying on the birthday list that Grandma Grace is 90-some-odd years old, and I was trying to remember what a 90-year-old is, because it was septuagenarian is 70, octogenarian.
Yeah.
And I can't remember, nanogenarian? Nanogenarian. Sure, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
If it's not right, it's right one way or another. It works on multiple levels. Thanks, Mark. And actually,
hey, if you're not referring to how old she is, maybe it is how small she is.
Nanobot. Listener Jack was the one who actually put that in the birthday calendar, and he writes back, he says, Grandma Grace is still with us. Because I went, wow, I hope she's still around. And he said, we're taking her out for her birthday tonight. She'll be listening to this episode later today. And that blew me away, that this was part of her birthday experience, is Technorama.
She was quoted as saying, what the hell is this?
Isn't senility great? It's funny every time.
Senility is bliss.
No, we wish you all the best. She's got 5 kids, 15 grandkids, 8 great grandkids, and 2 great great grandkids.
And 2 podcasters.
In a pear tree.
That's right.
Susan Morkang. We also have feedback from a brand new listener, Andy, whom I met on Saturday at my wife's company picnic.
He so, what are you recruiting listeners now?
No, see, I'll get to that at the end of the show, but I think we've been doing it wrong. We've been telling everybody to tell a friend about Technorama, but of course, none of them have any friends, so I'm changing that to tell anyone about Technorama.
Tell a stranger about Technorama.
Julie, exactly. Julie thought it would work better. That way you don't scare off your friends, and if they don't like it, you don't have anything to lose anyway, so tell anybody.
I'm down with that.
So anyway, Andy saw me with my Nikon and we started chatting about photo stuff and whatnot. And I told him that when we go to Dragon Con, I just leave all the good pictures up to Mad Marv, and showed him the Parsec Award pictures. And he said, "Oh, you do podcasting? What do you do?" So I told him a little bit about Technorama. He was listening to it Monday at work and bust out laughing out loud with his headphones on. So we need a not safe for work tag on our show.
Yeah. Hmm. What was he laughing at?
The ending. It wasn't even us he was laughing at. He was laughing at the tiny little life form thing. Yeah. That's how good we are. People don't laugh at us. They laugh at the editing.
Yeah. And it was Brent Spiner.
Which you're not supposed to even recognize the editing. We do this show live every week, normally on Sundays. This happened to be a special week because Craig had family commitments this past weekend, so we're on Monday. But normally, it's Sunday at 9:30 Eastern time. We give a shout out to the chat room, which is a little sparse this week, but hope to join you there soon. We do have Ranger Craig, who is a ranger on Alcatraz National Park.
He's monitoring the chat room.
He's playing this in front of all the prisoners live.
He walks around and pretends there's still prisoners there.
We turn to the birthday calendar, and it says that June 15th is Miss Eliza C. Wow. Formerly from Winging It 3D.
Wow.
There's an old calendar entry for you. Our calendar's starting to show date. Pretty soon it's going to have like an old, like one of those calendars that has old cars and oil and stuff on it. Smoke.
Yeah, right.
Chesterfield cigarettes.
Gasoline, 15 cents.
Hey, June 16th is Joe Edmison and Jason. From The Angry Geek, Digital Dan Hook from The Hook Show is June 17th. The 18th has 2 birthdays, Luke Platypus from the UK and Zion Fox from Appleton. I just had breakfast with him last Friday, him and a number of other people. And 19th is Steven from Wichita, Kansas. Happy birthday to all of you. If it happens to be your birthday and you're not on the birthday calendar, go over there, put it on there. We wish you a happy birthday anyway. And if it happens to be your birthday sometime coming up soon, get that on the birthday calendar too. And then we'll give you a shout out at the right time of year.
Don't waste any time. Your birthday will be gone before you know it.
Join us on Google Plus every Sunday night at 9:30. Also, you can watch how this is made live before Craig gets his grubby little hands on it and does all the editing. Oh, the other thing that Andy told me was he was listening at a 2x speed and I was talking too fast. He had to slow it down.
But he kept having to speed it up on my end.
The only thing that would make it worse is if I was still on caffeine. Caffeine 2x Chuck.
You know what?
This I go faster than those neutrinos that go faster than the speed of light.
Hey, you know what? We may have to do an experiment at Dragon Con.
How fast can we do our podcast? No.
Well, I did apply for the world's shortest podcast a while back. I think it's on the website, right? Remember that?
That's all. Bye.
I said this Technorama, and it was like it's the smallest MP3 file I think I've ever seen.
It's like 10 minutes in, we haven't done much, so let's get on this day in history.
Okay, let's move along.
On this day in history for June 13, 2012, it was on this date in 1805 that Meriwether Lewis of the Lewis and Clark Expedition was scouting ahead with 4 companions and sighted the Great Falls of the Missouri River.
Also today in 1927, aviator Charles Lindbergh receives a ticker tape parade down Fifth Avenue in New York City.
This music goes well with that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
An historic meeting between Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini takes place on June 13, 1934 in Venice, Italy. Mussolini later describes the German dictator as a silly little monkey.
In 1955, in the USSR, the Mir mine is discovered, the first diamond mine in the USSR.
That was much better.
And today in 1969, Governor of Texas Preston Smith signs a bill into law converting the former Southwest Center for Advanced Studies, originally founded as a research arm for Texas Instruments, see how that ties in, into the University of Texas at Dallas.
Yeehaw, don't mess with Texas. And it was also on this date, 1970, The Long and Winding Road becomes the Beatles' last number one song.
Convicted Martin Luther King Jr. assassin James Earl Ray is recaptured on June 13, 1977, after escaping from a prison 3 days before.
And 29 years ago, Pioneer 10 becomes the first man-made object to leave the central solar system when it passed beyond the orbit of Neptune, the furthest planet from the sun at the time.
And well, stay out!
And you know what? It is again because they've demoted Pluto.
Oh, wow, it doesn't have to do that weird elliptical orbit thing. That's awesome.
History repeats itself.
It'll stay that way. 18 years ago, a jury in Anchorage, Alaska blames recklessness by Exxon and Captain Joseph Hazelwood for the Exxon Valdez disaster, allowing victims of the oil spill to seek $15 billion in damages.
As he removes his pinky from his mouth. A jury sentences Timothy McVeigh to death for his part in the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing on this date in 1997.
And just 2 short years ago, a capsule of the Japanese spacecraft Hayabusa, containing particles of the asteroid 25143 Itokawa, returns to Earth.
I think that's also the self-destruct code on the Bozeman in Star Trek.
Happy birthday goes on this date to Scottish physicist James Clerk Maxwell, the man who helped us understand the relationship between magnets and electricity, was born today in 1831.
And also today, born 1906, was Italian mathematician Bruno D. Finiti.
American physicist and Nobel laureate Luis Alvarez was born today in 1911.
And the same birthday is shared by German-born physicist Erwin Wilhelm Müller.
American mathematician John Forbes Nash Jr. celebrates his 84th birthday today.
And Dr. Tolian Soran from Star Trek Next Generations, the man responsible for Kirk's death, actor Malcolm McDowell, turns 69.
Oh, he slipped. It was his own fault. And finally, Russian mathematician Grigory Perelman turns 46. And that's the way it was on this day in history for June 13th, 2012.
Stick a fork in it.
This week, I got all the mathematicians.
There is a ton of mathematicians in this world.
Well, it's better than the footballers you get.
Would you consider us all mathematicians? You got to do consumer math every day.
Some's better. Some people are better at it than others.
Sure.
All right, let me open up a couple of these since stories. You know, I can hear the music when I do that now.
Oh, Mark Shepard's in there. Hey, Mark.
Might as well open up the Hacks and Strange Stories while the Wi-Fi is being good to me. All right, I got. Come on, keep your shirt on, Chrome. Okay.
I read this title wrong. I thought it said "Fish are stupid." Giant robotic fish attacks tank.
Fish isn't the first story, yeah?
No, but I thought it's just the order the tabs came up. I just read the title wrong.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna mention that, by the way.
All right. I'll leave it to you to put in the good news, everyone, or something. Our first story in the news, we have a Swiss newspaper that goes digital. The only problem is it prints its entire front page in binary.
It's only intended for robots. some robot sitting there with coffee and his legs crossed trying to read the paper.
this is the way Bender does it.
Yeah. Oh, I see ones and zeros everywhere.
I thought I saw a two.
Oh, those newspaper types. You give them an idea and they don't half run with it. Swiss Zurich Daily New Zürcher Zeitung. Pardon my bad Swiss.
Yeah.
They just went digital, and to celebrate, it thought it'd go the whole hog and print the entire front page, sans the essentials, in binary.
Nice.
Craig and I haven't had a chance yet to decode this, but if ever there was a day to break bad news of the city, today might be it. It literally is 010s, and I love the heading because it's like that old German Gothic script. Even the zeros have like hooks on them.
That's funny. I would actually like to get a copy of that. Wait, you said it was digital now.
Yes. Go copy and paste it and put it into Google Translate and see what happens.
I'll do that later.
So I wonder if they sign off their newspaper with a binary high five.
The binary high five. Yeah.
I see a 101 in there.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw it too.
You want me to tell you what these say?
See if you can read something.
I can get you the first four characters, which are the headline of the main section.
Well, you got to convert your numbers into...
If it's in ASCII, and I'm assuming it is, it would be 42. 42 is not even an ASCII character. Oh, I guess... Yeah, it would. 42. That's B.
Okay, this is going nowhere
65.
Quick.
What's a 65? That's hex. 65 in hex is...
The carriage return.
No, it's a carriage return. Yeah, B, carriage return. Ah, it's four letters. All right, I'm not going to take up all your valuable time doing this. I can translate the... I have a clip for that. The interesting thing about that is... Moving on to the second one. Fish are stupid. According to this test, there was a test to... according to this experiment, scientists put a giant robotic fish into a tank of water, and all the little fish started following it around. Those little fish swam right up to it because they apparently aren't too bright. The quote is, "The feat of this latest milestone on the path to using autonomous robots in an open body of water to monitor and control fish behavior in order to protect them," according to the team. "We would like to use these robots for guiding fish away from danger." Swim, little guppies. There's a shark coming.
Swim, little guppies.
This is from Maurizio Porfiri, an engineer at the Polytechnic Institute of New York University. "For example, the robots could be used to steer fish away from an oil spill or lure invasive fish into a net," he said. I don't know. I just think the fish are really smart and they go, "I, for one, welcome our robot overlords." And they follow them around.
Is this a scientific experiment?
Yes, it is.
Because it sure does sound like it.
It sounds like something we could get grant funding for.
I know. Hey, by the way... I was laughing because I misread the title when I first opened this page up, and I thought it said "Fish are stupid: giant robotic fish attacks tank."
No,
stupid tank.
Now it seems everything these days is Wi-Fi enabled, or will tweet or text you something from your bathroom scale to your refrigerator. Well, now even the items within your refrigerator can do that. Milkmaid is a new smart jug that tells lazy people when their milk has gone bad. And it actually won a contest from GE.
A contest? What was the contest?
But not for being the most superfluous gadget ever. Equipped with sensors, GSM radio, and an antenna. An antenna on a milk jug? Really? A SIM card and a rechargeable battery, Milkmaid will give you more milk stats than you ever needed to know. And I guess if you're that anal retentive, you ought to deserve it. An integrated iPhone.
By the way, you know milk like it doesn't need any help to be more expensive right now.
Right, right.
For crying out loud. I ought to just go buy a stupid cow.
It just and tells then I can you look now at have it. You now have yogurt or cottage cheese.
I think I'd rather the cow tweet me.
No, they send along those moo cards.
The moo cards.
Boom. Oh my goodness. So if you're really
you know
that
cow, you know what the cow would tweet you? Eat more chicken.
There are some things you just don't need. I mean, how hard is it to open that thing up and go, "Woo! Honey, smell this. Does this smell bad? Where's the fun in that?"
I guess they're trying to give you a heads up.
No, if I made this application, it wouldn't go, "Your milk is past due. It is now has a lactose base of this and acidity level of that." It would tweet you and go, "Smell this. Does this smell bad?"
Yeah. How about drink it now before it goes bad?
Right. "You now have 3 days until your milk spoils. You now have 3 seconds until your milk spoils."
Hey, and by the way, you know, the date that's on the carton, I mean, you know, if you go over a day, it's not necessarily bad right away, right?
It's only a suggestion, right?
I mean, you know, you start getting past 3 days, you know, you got a problem, I think. You could be having a problem. But if it's, you know, within the three-day margin of error on the carton.
The thing that always throws you off, though, is there's always that little bit of milk that gets caught by the cap and the threads.
Yes.
That goes bad first. So if you just open it up and smell it, you're not smelling the milk. You're smelling that stuff on top that's dried out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so that'll throw you off. That's what always gets down to. She goes, "This doesn't smell right." I said, "Pour it in a glass and smell it. It smells better."
Pour it in a glass and smell it. Oh, boy. Okay. Well, yeah, you're right. All right. We talked this one to death.
Into the Remember When segment. In the 1920s, whether you knew it or not, just a short, scant 90 years ago, stegosauruses could actually fly.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Well, I thought they were dead 65 million years ago, but that point aside, apparently, the artists, you know, they didn't quite get it right at first. They thought that, like, Iguanodon, when they first found his toenails, they thought it was a tusk on his nose, and they thought Tyrannosaurus dragged his tail around everywhere.
What the hell did they know?
Well, they thought that the plates on the Stegosaurus not only stood up, but they could reticulate and go down horizontally to each other and act as a gliding mechanism.
Back in the more of a shield or something?
No, it was like a wing, like a series of small wings.
No, I'm saying it would go down. Oh, so it would actually help in flight?
Yeah, like they were aerodynamic. Of course, you know, planes have been around for a whole, 15 years by that point. So nobody really understood. They understood flight as well as they understood the dinosaur. So it's anybody's guess. Yeah.
Look, this paper can fly.
The aeroplane dinosaur of a million years ago. Well, they didn't even get the time frame right.
No kidding.
This article says, back in the stinking, steaming, hot, stinking Jurassic time, I made some of that up, the Stegosaurus was the weird and titanic flying squirrel of its age. I can't say that with a straight face. With its huge place alternately on... With its huge plates... placed alternately on each side of its back, it could depress these to form planes that buoyed it in a swift rush from elevation to elevation. They've got one standing on the perch of the side of a cliff. This thing looks like it's ready to commit stegocide.
I think it looks like it got its head stuck in an hole.
I can't take it anymore! I'm gonna jump! Or like that old gliders from which the aeroplane was evolved, lifted up the body under the driving impetus of the enormous hind legs, carrying it in flight for hundreds of feet. A weird spectacle indeed, if man could have seen it, must have been the soarings of these monsters. But many thousands of years had still to pass before even the hairy ancestors of man could evolve. Of course, the Stegosaurus could not fly like birds. Even if the reptile had flapped its plates ever so swiftly, it could not have risen above the ground by means alone. or by their means alone. It had, nevertheless, partial command of the air, and so it is entitled to be considered the father of all heavier-than-air machines.
I'm not.
You know, there's sort of an odd irony in this, in that scientists are just really saying that, you know, dinosaurs are the descendants, or I mean, the ancestors of birds, and that even many of the dinosaurs had feathers on them.
Yeah, we talked about that not too long ago. Was the T-Rex? Didn't they say they thought it had feathers?
Just not this one.
Yeah, well. I don't know.
Flying squirrels, huh? Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a Stegosaurus out of my hat.
Hey, Rocky. Hey, you know, I don't know. I think the more we learn, the more we learn we don't know.
The more we know, the more we know we don't know. I think you got that right.
Yeah, see, I got it right.
Craig Stepp, everybody. Professor Craig Stepp.
Thank you. The more we know, the more we know we don't.
I think, therefore, I tweet. Descartes quoted that, right?
Sure. Picard?
We're going to take a real quick break. We'll be back with the Media Corner, or we have even more insanity coming up. Stay with us.
If you like quirky movies, you might know about the View Ask universe.
Jay said you guys had a Star Wars themed wedding, and you tied the knot dressed like stormtroopers. And he says you're the bitch, and you're the butch.
If you're a geek, you probably know about the Whedonverse.
Shiny. Let's be bad guys.
If you're a podcast junkie, you better know about the Merverse.
Let's go to the meeting. I want to get there early enough to make sure I have humans sitting next to me.
Bigot.
Well, there's a new reality in town. The Omniverse. Featuring a wide variety of fiction from podcasting veteran Scott Roche and voice talent from around the internet, if you like getting your earbuds filled with tales about monsters, spaceships, steam-powered battle tanks, and epic wizards, then go to scottroche.com/omniverse, or search for Omniverse under the podcast section at the iTunes store. Your mind will thank you.
In the Media Corner, we have an image that we're going to show. Craig, you want to show that on the still store?
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now.
We have like an old Pulp Fiction version of The Matrix from the 60s. If The Matrix was a 60s comic, complete with ratty corners and everything.
Yeah, right.
Morpheus actually, book, 75 cents. I like that. There's a picture of a squiddy in the background, and then the characters behind that, and then up front they have the agents with their dark glasses. And the caption says, "They're killing machines designed for one thing, search and destroy."
Search and destroy.
Gorgeous thing.
Actually, this reminds
Scroll
me
that
of
up a little bit.
Some of the old, I'm trying to slide it up. It's a little slow, but it reminds me of some of those old Star Trek comic books I've got, like from Golden Key.
Yep.
They have these kind of, not quite like this. They're more like paintings. In the sense where, you know, it shows like Spock shooting something, but it's more like a painting. But yeah, this is pretty cool. There you go.
It's funny. Lovely. If you can't see that on the audio podcast, apologies. You might want to go over to the website and watch the video. Of course, we don't have all the post-production stuff in there, but hey, you get to see the pictures at least. Because, you know,
hey, baby.
When it comes to the, you know, if you're like me, and I know I am, that's all about looking at pictures anyway.
That's right.
Here's something I want. I want the Futurama version of Operation. It's just Bender instead of the body, and you pull out a beer or money or a cigar. Various things from his anatomy.
Yeah, they need like a... What all is in there? I see a gear, a wallet.
That's like a resistor.
That's what it is.
Remember when he had that soldered on him when he joined the church?
Yeah.
It was like the church symbol.
Yeah, that's right.
This is actually a working circuit. So if you hit the sides, the LED on top of his antenna lights up.
Like, yeah, Operation, of course.
Instructables member LCBO1234 created this beautiful Futurama-themed version of the popular Hasbro game with sleek, see-through acrylic that would look right at home in the 30th century. And instead of a broken heart or funny bone, players have to remove items like a beer bottle, Fry's wallet, a lit cigar, without touching the edge and setting off the red light on his antenna. If you like the idea, Instructable has everything you need to build your own.
Nice.
We will no doubt ever see anything like this from Hasbro licensing. You got to love it.
Yeah.
I think that looks like a lot of fun.
Actually, you know what? Well, they got a Homer Simpson one and a Shrek. Why not?
You and Harrison should build this.
I think I might.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Hey, well, look here. I've already got some of the pieces.
No, this is a flat drawing, Craig. You don't want to flatten that guy.
Look, I've got he's also got, if you can tell.
His bottle of lowbrow?
No, old Fortran.
Old Fortran, that's what it was. Can you believe it's been 30 years already since Wrath of Khan came out?
Oh, I thought you were going to say since we started recording Technorama.
No, that's only been 30 minutes.
Feels like 30 years.
I know these shows are long, but they're not that long.
I know. I can't believe it's been 30 years since Wrath of Khan.
30 years, and we've got some links over on the show notes on the website to take you to some old interviews with Shatner, Nimoy, Kelly, even some of the technical people who put together the scenes for the Genesis effect. That was actually done by Lucasfilms. I did not know that until I watched these clips.
Yeah, that was some early ILM stuff. They weren't even called ILM.
I don't even think they were ILM at that point. Although, yeah. I'm surprised they weren't, because they set up their digital studios as part of either the first or the second Star Wars movie. I mean, they had to do everything they needed on the first one themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I don't think they really took on the name ILM at that point, or they would have said it in this video. Yeah.
I thought it was funny they were talking about, we had the computer do this, and the guy's very dry that's doing the narration.
Oh, I know. It was boring as sin.
Yeah, but it was boring, but at the same time, it was cool to see. But he was talking about how there was no pixelation in this image, and it was composited. Makes real life, visual effects. Like, wow. And then you see, we pull apart, and we pull away and see that the planet is now Earth-like.
No.
Yeah.
And this shot was hand painted.
Also, in the same article, there's interviews with William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy and Ricardo Montalban, which I was actually looking through trying to find, and I think I skipped over it a couple times because I wanted to see him talk about the movie. And I saw one part where he was talking about having to read the script 4 or 5 times, and he was at that point doing Mr. Rourke, like, for what, 5, I think they were going into their 6th season or something like that.
Oh my goodness.
So he was reading it, and he was making the voice to himself, like in his home or something like that. And he was like, it's too much Mr. Rourke in this voice. And
I can just imagine they land on SETI Alpha 6 and he goes, smiles, everyone, smiles.
Tattoo. But no, it was interesting to see. And, if you can get past the clothes that they're wearing,
And how thin Shatner used to be.
Yeah. Yes. Well, anyway, that's pretty good. You go check them out.
Yeah, those are fun to watch if you're bored one evening and there's nothing on TV. Flip over to those. They're actually kind of interesting. We haven't seen Joan Rivers do an interview in a good long time. That's the place to go.
And by the way, one of these, maybe one or two of these, is I think the first YouTube one, I think it's actually a playlist. So when it finishes the first video, it'll go to the next automatically. I was like, well, they're cutting this interview short. And then it went to the next video. So just a FYI.
Yeah, I thought so too. The one with, not Dick Cavett. Who was the interviewer?
Merv Griffin.
It looked like it was about to end, and boom, then it goes into more stuff with Shatner. I got caught by that too. It's like, hey, I didn't know you could daisy chain YouTube videos.
Yeah, you can publish a playlist in a player.
We also have another video from Days Gone By, almost that same era. Behind the scenes look at Return of the Jedi. This is a silent film. Apparently, it's 7 minutes of Super 8 film footage shot in 82 by a Star Wars fan named Jeff Bros at Buttercup Valley in the southeastern California desert near Yuma, California, of the filming of Return of the Jedi. Mm-hmm. You can see some scenes being shot and rehearsed, but everything is all silent. And there's plenty of behind the scenes shots.
Well, you know, it's silent because it's Super 8 film and inherently doesn't have audio on it.
Right. But there's not even any narration once they transferred it to video, which is kind of sad. Well, there's, of course, Slave Leia, Boba Fett, spare R2-D2 sitting around.
What was funny was that I watched some of the video and he had like these little titles come up at the beginning. It said, filmed in Sandovision.
Because so, a lot of it is about Jabba's sand barge. It's that scene.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see Boba Fett being hauled around on wires and whatnot. It's actually pretty funny.
He's like hanging around as he's...
he's being swung around by a crane. It does not look natural at all. He's me down.
Now, what's cool is you watch some of this and you recognize some of the scenes from the movie, but from the different point of view because they're...
Yeah.
You know, this person's shooting from the Super 8 on a distance, and you see Luke sitting there swinging the stick he's using for the lightsaber.
One of those hog-faced guys, yeah.
And then Leia was getting on the gun turret and spinning it around. So, yeah, it looks like he was filming either when they were rehearsing or when they were actually shooting. I'm not sure about it because it looked very similar.
And Lucas was very thin, too.
Him and Shatner were on the same diet.
A lot of fun watching it.
Was that a seafood diet? No, I'm sorry.
Seafood and eat it. That's right. All right. What the chuck? Oh, feel free to edit this out. I didn't get a chance to read a whole lot into it at first. All right. Here's my stupid person of the week. If you're going to kill someone, you don't Google how to do it first. All right, there's just so much computer forensics evidence left behind by doing something as simple as that. A Florida couple accused of strangling a 19-year-old girl are almost certainly going to be convicted after leaving what amounts to the longest and most comprehensive trail of incriminating digital evidence ever.
Ever.
Has nobody ever heard of, like, Chrome's incognito mode? Not to leave a trail like that. James Ayers, 32, and Nicole Orczyk, 23, gave the world a lesson on how not to commit a crime and get away with it. And it's a good thing, because that means they'll serve hard time. Ayers is accused of strangling Juliana Mensch on March 24th for drug money. Orczyk will appear before grand jury this week, which will nice mug shots. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
Orczyk will appear before grand jury this week, which means it will be determined if she should be charged in connection with the murder. Here's a rundown of boneheaded digital mistakes the couple made leading up to the murder, as reported by the Daily News. On the morning of the murder, Orczyk did an internet search for, quote, chemicals to pass out a person, making people faint, ways to kill people in their sleep, how to suffocate someone, and how to poison someone. That's pretty incriminating, but not as incriminating as their long string of bickering text messages in which the couple tried to determine what to do with the dead body they had on their hands. Ayers texted Orczyk to tell her he was calling the cops if she did not come home to help him with the body, according to the records. Why the F would you do that and ruin both our lives when we can just get rid of the SH and move on? Orczyk responded. Ayers continued to threaten his girlfriend several hours later. We have a dead body in the house and you want to play? He allegedly said. Busted! Obviously, the couple discussed the crime on Facebook, but what's even worse is they posted pictures of themselves partying at their bar together just hours after the murder. I'm surprised they didn't do like a Weekend at Bernie's thing and just hold up the body.
Yeah. Put on Facebook pictures of the body.
She's not dead. She stupid. Just has dark eyes.
Yeah, get her a drink.
Oh, my goodness. That's just her brains hanging out her head. Everybody does that at this place.
Yeah, that's terrible. I'm Googling how to do murder.
First of all, you shouldn't commit crimes. But if you're going to commit them, don't leave a trail of digital evidence that can be used against you. If you say it online, someone will find it.
Hey, by the way, when you started off this article, I thought you were going to say, a friend of mine, air quotes.
They're not even that smart.
No kidding.
All right, Mad Marv stuck one in here at the last minute that I just had to cover. It's called The Manslater. It is a spoof. Now, those who know their audio equipment will quickly recognize that it's a Zoom H4 with a phony screen put on the front. And it's to help men understand what women really mean. So the man says, honey, a tea time just opened. Can I go? And the wife says, that's fine. And the translator says, you know, go golf. You know. He says, no, honey, I think I'll just stay here and watch The Notebook with you.
Yeah, watch The Notebook with you. That's funny. Oh, hey, by really the way, the Zoom H4, it even still says Zoom on it.
Yeah, I wonder how they take that.
Yeah. Look,
really, no really go, good piece.
Stay home.
I don't know why we didn't think of this first, Craig, but, you know.
The Manslater.
And it also works in the opposite direction so women can understand. And it has other voices you can download, like Yoda.
Yoda?
In big trouble you are.
Yeah, what? Yeah. Oh, boy, that's funny.
That's a good one. You got to go over and watch that on the show notes. It's a whole lot of fun.
The Manslater from Mans.
Do what you will. We won't charge you.
That's right. And awkward silence.
Yeah, edit that out. I was reading Mad Marv's tweet here. Mark Shepard, Siri will tell you what to do with the dead body.
There you go.
That takes us to the end of the show. We appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. Call listener line 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. Like Mark in Memphis did. We appreciate that very much. Or email us, like our good buddy Jack did about Grandma Grace at technorama@chucktot.com. What are you laughing at?
Like our good buddy Jack?
Ah, you called me out. I was scrolling up.
I could see your eyes, man. You were like, scroll. Oh, yeah, Jack. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Shut up. I have bad memory. I'm as old as Grandma Grace, and my memory is worse than hers.
Man, you're my best friend, Chuck. Yeah.
Shut up. Fred. Fred. Head over to the website, chuckchat.com. You can watch this video as it was recorded once upon a time on YouTube, on the website, video and all, rats, warts and all. Or you can wait for the podcast to be downloaded and get a nice cleaned up, edited music and everything version. Special thanks to Mad Mar for providing all the great blog content during the week. Everybody who sent us links, thank you very much. We got a whole bunch of them. We wish we could have used them all in the show. But sometimes we tweet them, sometimes we Google Plus them, and sometimes they just lay on the floor and shrivel up and die there, like most of the ones that I get. Thank you for everybody who joined us in the Hangout. I know this was an odd night. You can join us Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time or whatever the time that is in your part of the country. We'd love to see you there. And thank you, Mr. Listener or Watcher, for downloading and listening and spending time with us. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with a whole bunch of great podcasts over at Farpoint Media. A lot of great stuff there. If you're not finding something you like,
too bad.
Hawks on you.
Yeah, too bad.
And we, like I said earlier, we've been doing this all wrong. Don't tell a friend about Technorama. They might get mad and you're no longer their friend. Tell anyone about Technorama. Tell a stranger like I did this last weekend and get us a new listener, because we can use all the help we can get. Tell a friend about Technorama. Tell a stranger about Technorama. We really don't care anymore. Just tell somebody about Technorama.
Rent a billboard.
rent a billboard.
Yeah, why not?
And until next time, a binary high five.
101. Woo. Whatever that is.
Name it. Hey, man.